Our first speaker tonight is Pastor Risto Kuder from Finland, and he, I remember years ago when he first came and how God has spoken to his heart, and in all these years, I mean 40 years or so, he's just been so faithful, following Christ, he and his family. Missionaries in Sweden, Russian-speaking, Russian mission work through the years, pianist, friend, servant, great guy, Pastor Risto.
Okay, good evening. It's a great honor. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Schaller, for asking me to share. This morning, Pastor Devendra from India said that he was waiting for an email that Jen Lynch, Pastor's secretary, would cancel his appointed time to speak here. And in a similar way, yesterday, I very unexpectedly got an email from Jen Lynch asking me to speak here tonight, and I asked her, in responding to the email, then, "Are you serious?" And she answered that, "Serious as a heart attack." And then she says, no, we don't use that expression here anymore. It's like, but here I am, and very, very thankful for all of you, and really for the faithfulness of God through all the years. And as Pastor Schaller mentioned, I come from Finland, and I know there's many people from Finland here. I know you are all over the place. You come from China and all, God knows from where. But would you like to stand up if you were born in Finland? Thank you. I saw somebody that didn't stand up, but we'll talk about it later. Okay, denying their heritage, but wonderful to be here. Okay, and greetings to you all in Finland that are watching this through the net. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing time together. Really, being as a family in this living room here. And we thank you for your presence, for your faithfulness through all the years, and how you are every day fresh and new to us. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to us through your word tonight. Amen. The theme of the week is wisdom for our times. And I remember Pastor Benjamin Turkia, who is not here, unfortunately. Maybe he's watching too, so hello to you and your precious wife. But he said that the simple gospel is the deepest wisdom of God. And I think that is so true. And if we think about what the gospel includes, we see actually the gospel presented very clearly here on this stage. We don't even need a preacher, because if you start in the Hebrew order, you have the cross on the right, and then after that you read, "It is finished." And then you go over to that side and you see that herein is love. Not that we loved him, but he loved us. And that's really the gospel in a nutshell presented right there. But why do we need this cross then? Because that also talks about something very serious, and it's the depravity of man, that there's none righteous, no, not one, as Paul writes in Romans 3:10. And we need that cross. That's the only hope we have in order for us to really get the true wisdom of God. Paul is writing a lot about wisdom And very much so in the first letter to Corinthians, which is interesting because actually that letter is a very practical letter in many ways and includes like teaching of the body of Christ and includes rebuking the church in Corinth for certain things. But he started with the wisdom of God, with the gospel very clearly. And then he kind of wraps it up in chapter 15 where he comes back to the gospel and he's talking about the resurrection and about how if Christ was not raised from the dead, would be the most miserable of all people. So the hope of the resurrection is included in the gospel as well, in this great wisdom of God. But we could read a few verses here maybe, 1 Corinthians 1 to start with, from verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the foolishness of God is wiser than men in verse 25 also. But think about that. The wisdom of God, that is foolishness for this world. And why is it foolishness? Because there's none righteous, no, not one. And in Romans 8, 7, it says that the flesh of man cannot submit to the law of God, and neither is it able. Will not submit, and neither is it able. The flesh cannot submit to the law of God. It's just built in this rebellion, this inability to submit to God, this inability to understand the wisdom of God. God has planned it so. So the only way in order for us to have wisdom from God is through the cross, by dying to ourselves, by submitting to the work that he has done, by accepting that forgiveness and the grace that he offers us. And through that, we can get the wisdom of God. And it's a mystery to the world. It's foolishness to the world. And actually, Paul writes then further in chapter 2, in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And I love it that this is a mystery. There's so many things that are called mysteries in the Bible. And I think that it's so wonderful that the wisdom of God too is a mystery. It's something that we naturally never will be able to understand the true thought of God. And we can only understand it by revelation, through the Word, by the Holy Spirit. And he will give us that wisdom to understand the real thoughts of God, the real wisdom. And it's something that is intangible. We cannot really touch it. And even the philosophers, they know that there's something there that is beyond it. And I actually like it. They use a word, ineffable. That means something that is too great, too powerful, too beautiful to be described or expressed. And that is the mystery of the wisdom of God. It's like that. It's too powerful, too beautiful, too great to be expressed. You can just sense it in your spirit. And that is something that kindles in you worship to God. And Pastor Scheller has said a couple of times this week, at least in the pastor's meetings, that wisdom and worship go together. And I think that it is so. It has to do with this mystery. Because when we meet something mysterious, when we see something ineffable, something that is too great, too powerful to grasp or to put into words, it fills us with a sense of awe. And we just worship him because we don't know what else to do. And wisdom goes with worship. And I just hope that we would never lose that. Because we cannot explain God's wisdom. We cannot explain the plan of God to the fullest. There's so many mysteries. The body of Christ is a great mystery. And that also is part of the wisdom of God. That we would see Christ manifested through these fallen people, through all of us. It's a great mystery that makes us worship and also fills our hearts with reverence, thinking of who we are. That we are not just a random group of people that likes the similar things and come here and eat together and speak together. But it's about the mystery of God, the body of Christ, the hidden wisdom in the mystery. And it's so great to be there. And I think that's why we go on year after year, decade after decade. Because it's something that we never, like, can fully grasp, but we are always filled with a sense of awe. The thank you, Jesus, for your mystery, for your wisdom, that is really beyond all that we can have in this world. And it's great that we can gather together in this mystery. Also, worship is something where true service starts. Service can be very, very dry. It could be very, like, whatever. Like, we're just doing things because we should do. But when our hearts are filled with this mystery, well, we're worshiping God, and that gives us the desire to serve him, to serve his body, to spread this wisdom to others too, that people might find the true nature of God. So, Father, we thank you for the wisdom that is for each age found through the cross in a mystery. And we just worship you for that, for the amazing wisdom of God. Just thank you and praise you. Father, we are standing in awe before you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Please stand and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 21 and verse 10.
Pastor Jeff, who just sang, he has become the pastor in West Palm. No, West Palm, right? Yeah, West Palm. So Pastor Foster he was led to ordain him as the overseeing pastor of the church. So we're happy about that, Pastor Jeff. That's great. Okay, Luke 21, verse 10. Can you hear me okay? Okay, yeah. Not everybody. Turn it up. Thank you. Okay. Luke 21, 10. Would you read it with me? Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Verse 20. Read it out loud with me. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Let's go to 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's do the one more, that last verse, let's do it one more time. No, 27 and 28. Ready? Loud. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Okay, you may be seated. Pastor Riso gave a great message tonight, as did all the various folks through the week. I made a little list. I remember Pastor Ben Narr's message on prayer. Pastor Sam Mohima preached on faith. Pastor Devendre on the center of gravity, when the center of gravity shifts and something falls over. Pastor Dadidas on the purpose of man, the purpose or counsel in the heart of man is deep. Also the burning bush, Pastor Don Barnes on come apart and rest a while, Pastor Shibeli, what word is this? Jack Wheatley, God's wisdom for our times. Pastor Love, the tattoo message, which I will never forget. Okay, I have a few things to say by God's grace. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for being here. All the people God has raised up through the years to serve and walk by faith. Sean Lyons, great example. I was thinking of some of the Finnish ladies that live in China. Pastor R. Pete and his newsletter, which he gave to me the other day, this one, and the story about a woman who had cancer and her body was smelling. I thought in myself as I saw her laying down there during the meeting listening, I thought in myself, my work is to believe God's word, not to see impossibilities. And I explained all the miracles you saw in the Jesus movie, which Jesus performed, was also based on their faith too. So they were showing the Jesus movie. He saw this woman. He did not know her condition, but I saw her raise her hand for salvation. We gathered as a team, prayed for her. Then we came back, and on February 3rd, or Friday, 3rd of May, I received a call from our local pastor that she had. He said he was so happy. Pastor, we have good news. I said, what? The woman we prayed for, she's completely healed now. Doctors did all the reports, and all the reports are negative. Her cancer disappeared. I said, praise the Lord. Lord, hallelujah. And we thanked God together, and I invited her to the 5th of June morning service to come and give a testimony. She brought her husband, and with them our missionary, Pastor Manish. And he explained everything with the report that she has no more cancer in her body and is completely healed. In India, as the folks from Brooklyn were singing tonight, I was thinking of faith and healing and the Spirit and lifting up Christ and the body of Christ. And through the summer months, and I'm sure this happens to you, and actually all through the year, this time of year is a highlight. And I think of when we come together, like Pastor Risto said, the content of Christ and our growth and knowing Christ more and more and better and better. One brother said to me, I listen to everyone speaking. I am not nervous as I listen. Every speaker has such content, and there is such growth and increase in the body of Christ. Our faith increases. Our wisdom increases in these times. And in this text we read, Christ is telling us about the end times. And he is saying it because he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be wise in these times. Not the wisdom that is of the world. I think Don Barnes said that few people have the wisdom of the world. In one sense, we could say some are very skillful, talented people. But then there are the general population has a wisdom like all of us. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis 26 and see something. Actually, we need to make a note of James 3. And the message will come across to our hearts, I am sure. God wants to prepare us for the days, and not just the coming of Christ, but our family times. He wants to prepare us. If I have been through a divorce, He wants to prepare me that I will endure the pain. If I have a cancer, He wants to prepare me to face and be prepared to meet Christ and be healed of the cancer. If not, and I meet Christ, God has wisdom for me. Isn't that true? Notice these words, James chapter 3 and verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Bitter envying and strife in your hearts. What an amazing sentence. Put it up on the screen. There it is. Bitter envying, maybe jealousy. There is a woman that dresses very nicely and you are jealous of her clothes. A man is very healthy and strong and has a big family and you are jealous of his blessing. Somebody has a nice car, a nice job. Somebody speaks well. Somebody is happy generally. Their personality, maybe they are young. Maybe they are gifted. There is bitter envying and strife in my heart. I have a jealousy in my heart. In the church life, the church can be filled with bitter envying and strife in your heart. Right? Yes, it can be. Why is he wearing a silk tie? I have a polyester tie. Why is he driving a Toyota? I have a Ford, but a great one. I don't know how, whatever. Listen, I don't know what it is about us. Pastors can be jealous. We can envy. We can have bitter envying. Bitter envying. Doesn't it say that? Bitter envying, like a deep kind that penetrates into my spirit. Jealousy and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. Wow. I can build with my envying and my jealousy, I can build a case against the truth. I'll show it to you in a minute with Jacob, I mean with Esau. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. First word. Next word. Sensual. Next word. Devilish. Could we take note of that? I want to move along in my message and start preaching, and that'll happen in a minute. I think so. It is all preaching, but I want you to see. Earthly, right? Where are we? This one? This one? Earthly. It starts there. We'll put here sandwich. A sandwich is a good sandwich. I mean, a really good one. Okay. Sandwich, earthly. Could it become sensual? And then could it become devilish? Could my wisdom be described this way? It is earthly. And there, in one sense, there's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with us being earthy. We are. We need water and food and air, and our bodies work, and blood pressure means something, and many other earthly things about us made as people. But it's when your earthliness takes on a wisdom that is earthly. Read it with me, please. Turn to Genesis 20. Make sure I have it right. 25. Verse 31. 30. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. What a great deal. I'll give you the pottage and you give me your birthright. Your decision. When you are earthy, these decisions are important. Because when you are earthy, the sandwich has a pull. There's a power in a sandwich. When you are earthy. But if you are earthly and you are wise with a wisdom that comes from above, then the wisdom from above gives you an understanding about sandwiches. You understand sandwiches in a different way. The sandwich cannot take my life. But if you are earthy, and you have a wisdom that is of the earth, your sandwich can take you out. Yeah. I wonder if there's any experience in this room. Let's we're not done. Look at verse 32. Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Oh, poor Esau. Earlier I said Ishmael, didn't I? I mean Esau. "I am at the point to die." I'd knock it off. "When did you eat last?" "Last night." "You're at the point to die? What are you talking about?" "Yes, I'm about to die." You know what's happening right there? Wisdom from below is earthy, sensual, and devilish. Right? That's what it says. And I don't want to say there is a sequence here, but I am saying it. This may lead to something greater, and it is sandwiches. It's more like, sandwiches. Multitudes. I dream of, I have movies on them. Sandwiches, the key to life. The answer to every problem. The ultimate reality. Sandwiches. Tell me it's not true. There are people that have converted the whole meaning of their life by a wisdom that is from below, and they could explain to you hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, how they believe that a car is the ultimate answer for everything. And you're like, what? A woman, a bank account, a job, an opportunity. Many women, many opportunities. It becomes in some time in this story, Esau, let's finish here. Read the text. It says, Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the..." Here he weighs 350 pounds. I'm going to die. I got to have a sandwich. Verse 32, "What profit shall this birthright do to me if I'm a dead man?" Very reasonable, but very stupid when you look at it from divine viewpoint. And yet, how many times is a human heart willing to sell out something eternal for the temporal? How many times people will sacrifice the church life for their family life? And my testimony is to the glory of God with my dear wife. When we have followed Christ together and asked for God to bring a blessing on our family, if God has blessed you, then He has blessed you. And the body of Christ is a priority to our family life by God's grace. And I mean it, you know how I mean it, I'm sure. I'm not really sure, but I hope you do. Why didn't you go to church? Family time. Why didn't you go to church? I saw a movie. Why didn't you go to church? I got another program. Why didn't you go to church? I was eating donuts and reading the newspaper. Why did you go? I had to do a workout. I went to the health club. That is my new temple. And the priest is my trainer. And the means is the equipment and the method, and the results are fantastic. Okay, is there a question here in the mind of Jesus Christ as he tells us about the times need wisdom. Noah, build me an ark. Oh, Lord, my hand. Don't you know? I looked at my hand the other day. I can't build an ark. The Lord said, could you explain that to me? My hand, do you see it? Yeah. Do you know that earthly wisdom will make all kinds of excuses before the high and almighty and powerful God? Moses said, I cannot speak. I don't have this speech. We know the excuses down through history. Noah, build me an ark. And Noah is wise. Ezekiel, can these bones live? O God, thou knowest. Prophesy unto them. And as I prophesied, there was the moving of the bones and the clanging and the clanking together. And one in the hip bone joined to the femur bone. And the bones came and prophesied more. And flesh came upon those bones. Do you know that we are living in a time, is it obvious to you? I hope so. Do you know that we're living in a time where our vocabulary, it used to be, what was it, LBT, lettuce, bacon, and tomato, now it's LGTB, something else. And on it goes. There are changes. And you know, like those old cassette tapes, remember? How many are, you know, at that age, you know, we can remember? And when you rewound them, they're slow in the beginning and then at the end. Well, we are at the part right now. What is happening next week? What is happening next year? How will our presidential election go? What will be happening in our public schools and in our judicial system, and how things change and how they go, and it is okay with me. I am happy Jesus is coming someday. And I am praying that we will not live in earthly wisdom, in a sandwich is more important than the deep things and the wisdom that comes from above. Look at the story. Esau said, "Behold, I just can hear him crying like a big baby. And behold, I'm at the point of die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" Verse Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus he saw what happened now. He despised his birthright, hated it. I think it went from earthly wisdom. It was just like just a normal thing to eat a sandwich. Then after he ate it, in a day or two passed, or however it went, he despised it. For I think he hated himself for what he had done. And now he hated not only the birthright, but the guy that sold it to him. He hated Jacob. It became now wisdom that was demonized. Hatred. Hatred. Don't let it happen to you. It starts nice, but it doesn't end up well. The progression that we have in our nature as we eat and live with wisdom that is from below. So let's speak now about the wisdom that comes from above. Noah, build me an ark. Yes, sir. These are the dimensions. Yes, sir. Thank you, God. How are you going to do this, Lord? I'm going to do it this way. And the gopher wood is over there. And you're going to do this and do that and build it like that. And then as Noah took his hand and just started to work, he could sense the power of wisdom, the way of wisdom. It is first pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle. without hypocrisy. He felt it in his bones. He felt the presence of God in his labor. He felt Christ in his ministry. He had a life of worship that, as Pastor Risto said, they worship linked with love, and the love results in, what was that word? Sorry. Worship, love, and... How did it go? There was a... Yeah, service, thank you. There is the mystery of Christ. This is prayer, worship. There is love. The first commandment and the great one is to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And as we worship, we enter into true service. And we can say, Noah, how are you doing that? And say, it's a joy for me. It's okay. I am able to do it. God is with me. What do you think about it? I can't explain it all to you. But I have a wisdom. I feel peace. I sleep at night. I don't hate anybody. I'm not striving. I have a gentleness about me. My family is present with me. God is in it. And by the way, I'm adding now, it isn't in the Bible saying this, but I could imagine him saying, by the way, something big is coming. And I'm not exactly sure about how it will go or what it would look like, but I am believing that God is with me in preparing this vessel for salvation. That's amazing. I was meditating tonight. I was in the office and just quiet, and this story came back to my mind when I lived in Finland in the 70s, and I had to preach, and I lived in Kauniainen, and we didn't go home. We stayed in the city the whole day, and I went into a park an hour before the service, and I just it was summer. I sat there on the grass, and I just meditated to prepare for the message. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to bring every thought into the book of Hebrews. I'm going to recall every verse I can from the book of Hebrews and meditate on it, and God speak to me and worship God. And I remember that experience to this day. It was 1 hour. And when I got up off the grass and I walked across town to the church meeting, I was just so freshly anointed of God. I remember going there. Now, this is many years ago, but I'm making a point about it, that there's a mystery about your life, that God wants you to tap in, put the electric cord in the socket. He wants you to relate to him. He doesn't want you to sell your life out for a sandwich, which develops into like more, you know, like some other twisted thing, sensual, and then another twist, and it's devilish. Many men have started in something, one pornographic site, and then thoroughly obsessed with it. It started earthly, turned sensual, and went devilish. Is that true? Let me repeat it because I think it hits home. It started earthly, everybody knows. Even in a very clean way, a woman, very fully dressed, honorable, clean, attractive child, beautiful, a newborn baby, a beautiful, absolutely appreciated, and it is, and we can say that earthly image. But I need the wisdom of God to see it the right way. And if I don't have the wisdom of God to see it the right way, that earthly seeing it, it quickly goes to sensuality, and then in time it becomes, if not a right away, devilish. So now Esau wants to kill his brother Jacob. I want to kill him. Well, why do you want to kill him? You made the deal. You're the one that wanted the pottage. Why did? No, it's not the pottage. It's the earthly wisdom is the problem. It's not the car. It's the earthly wisdom that is the problem. It's not your family. It's the earthly wisdom that is the problem. It's not our country is as upset we are with the state of things, but it is my earthly wisdom is the thing. It is not that the flood and the wickedness of the people during the time of Noah, yes, as bad and as sad as it is, but it is that I need a guy that's going to think differently, and his name is Noah, and he's going to get it right, and he's going to execute and be a solution in the troublous times. Abraham did it. Lot did not do it. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it seems like he didn't have a clue. When the angels came to take him out, he didn't understand. He said to the daughters, the daughters didn't understand. Their boyfriends, they had two boyfriends, they mocked Lot. There was blindness, and Lot's wife didn't have the connection either. I wonder how much Lot got to talk to his wife, heart to heart. Even if he did, maybe he didn't understand. She was further away than he ever realized. Maybe it's happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. Maybe he didn't realize that she was further away, that he should have been there when the devil was talking to Eve. Why didn't Adam intercept the conversation? Said, hold it, time out. I am here. I have God's mind. You out of here. Yeah, you, the slippery one. The skinny snake, get out. You're out of here. Because I'm in charge. Adam, wisdom from above. Your wisdom from above will make you peaceable, meek, gentle. It'll satisfy you. You can spend an hour by yourself and be fully satisfied. Your meditation will be acceptable. Your motivation will be, and you'll be ready. And the Lord said to these people, he said, when you see this happening, he said, there's nothing that could prepare you for the tragedy of the hour, but my Father will be with you. And may we understand that very well, that if we are following Christ, then God will be with you when you go into your trial. God will be with you in the hospital. God will be with you in the nursing home if you end up there one day. God will be there in your trial of faith. God will be there when you get the bad news. God will be there when you get the telephone call that caused you to collapse to the floor. There is a wisdom that is in you, inside. 51:6. God requires truth in the inner part. Listen. You do not follow emotions. You follow wisdom. You don't follow church emotions. We love emotions. We're around here. We love it. We laugh a lot, talk a lot, dance a little bit, jump up and down, have a good time. I love emotions. They are an important part of my life and your life. And our emotions are important. But when the emotions, and we have people that come into the church and they say, why do you come? They say, because I understand something. I come here because I understand something. I want to understand the book. I don't want to just be out of my mind in some emotional frenzy where it may be earthy. It's only a step to sensuality and a step to being devilish in the church. A church is a place for sacredness, holiness, life, love. I remember one of these charismatic things, they're praising God. The people go out in the parking lot, there's a flat tire, they get in an argument, they get in a fist fight. An hour earlier, they're in this, praise you, Lord, hallelujah, God is good and God is great. And an hour later, they're in a fist fight out in the parking lot. Is that spirituality? No, that is earthly wisdom from below with bitter envying and jealousy and strife in the heart. But this book, boy, get it in you. Get prepared. It's coming. Days are coming. Okay. You know what's amazing? I believe in the church. I'm so proud of the Church of Christ. When in our country, secular world said, we're coming in with education, no prayer, no Ten Commandments, no Bible. You know what the church said? fine, you do it your way. We'll take our kids, we'll start our own school, and we'll teach them who Christ is, and we'll teach them the Bible. And by the way, because of that happening 50 years ago or more, there's a remnant of people through the country that are saying, that have grown up in the faith and say that my mom and dad believe in God, my church believes in God, this book is the reference for every problem and every trial, and I am seeking the way that is not the way of man, earthly, sensual, and devilish, but I am seeking the way that is of God, the wisdom that is from above. That's amazing. Okay. Who else had to be wise when it was a time as Lot, and he missed it? But then the King David and Saul didn't pay any attention to the ark, but David went and got the ark and brought it up to Jerusalem, and there was a revival. Who else during in our Bible times, they said they understood Jeremiah, understood the time, and he was heartbroken. He wrote Lamentations some 30 years later after he prophesied his whole life. I mean, at the end of his life, and his heart was broken. But he knew that God could heal because God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And there comes the wisdom that comes from above. Let me say this. When you see the bad things happen, it can take you earthly and bring you into something where you get discouraged or worried. But we take that earthly message and see it through the mind of God and say, we are excited. Jesus is coming soon. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. We take the wisdom and we say, our church has to be on fire. I need to show up to go to the church. I want to pray for my neighbors. I want a healing to happen. I met a German girl on a Swedish ship on a ferry boat crossing from Finland to Sweden. And she said, I'm a believer. I said, how? She said, there was a little Bible study in my home. They prayed for my brother was sick. My brother was healed. Now we have a lot of people coming to our Bible study, and God is real. And you know, that can happen anywhere in the world, at any time. We are people with a wisdom where we read this and say it can happen today. I want to be part of it. I want to reach out. I want to touch people. Pray for me. And not only would I be saying those things, but out on the street, and I am, and I love it actually, but still pray for me and for each other. That will never lose our mission, never lose our vision. For he that winneth souls is wise, but I would say he that does not is earthly, sensual, devilish. Has it ever happened? Earthly, sensual, devilish. But then when you think about getting on your knees before God and making your confession and saying, fill me, God, and lead and guide me, lead me in faith, and then send me into the highways and byways. And it's no big deal to open your mouth and talk to somebody in a coffee shop, at a health club. Open your mouth and share in the street corner or late at night, go to the park bench and just sit and pray. I walked down into Towson in the nighttime and just to meet the kids on the street and pray for them. And sometimes I open my mouth and sometimes not. But I pray for them and I say, God, these are kids and this is like me 40 years ago plus. Thank you, Lord. Move. Wisdom. Wisdom will forgive. Wisdom will give. Wisdom will believe. And then lastly, I think wisdom, I don't know how they do it. I'm amazed up through the years, through the decades with Dr. Stevens, we would cross Europe with a handful of dollars in our pockets, sleeping in the car, in the parking lot, doing whatever we needed to do to show up at the conference, and I'm amazed that people come from India, Russia, and South America, and they come here by faith, because wisdom from above says, draw near. The wisdom from above says it means something. If you were to ask Noah, who's doing one of these, he'll say, it really does. I'd rather be doing this than anything else. I have found God present with me. I have found God helping me build my family. God helping me build up my teenagers. God helping me forgive others. God helping me to pray for my husband. God helping me to pray for my wife. God helping me to go the extra mile. God helping me to leave town and go up to Wilmington, Delaware to hand out some tracts. God leading me in a prayer meeting. God leading me to Hungary, to Budapest to teach at GGIS, or to China, or wherever God has us. This is a wisdom, honestly. It is a wisdom from above. And you say, the guys from the government will say, you guys have any sandwiches? And we say, we got wisdom from above. And our God is the God of sandwiches. And our God pours out to us sandwiches whenever we need them. And we got not only our birthright, but we also got plenty of sandwiches. How are you guys doing? We're borrowing some money so we could buy some more sandwiches. Could you repeat that? We're borrowing more money so we can provide for the people sandwiches. Can you tell them about eternal life? What? Can you tell them about God, about forgiveness, about eternal life, about an inheritance, about a living book, about a living voice, about leaving our bodies and flying away one day? What? You could weep. You could weep over the difference between the two. We could weep over it. And we do. What? You got what? Your life is a bar room? Your life is an X-rated movie? Your life is just cheating and lying? Or your life is your fishing pole, or a surfboard, or a girlfriend, or a marijuana joint, and like a dull, dumb, duh. That's your life? I'm not making fun. I have been there. I know what it is. And I also know as a Christian that if you leave me to myself, I'll go to wisdom that is earthly. It makes sense. Everybody knows what a sandwich means. And it moves on to something that I can't even come to the end of where I am at in my life. How did I get here? So Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we are part of something incredible. And it hasn't yet appeared. If it did, it would blow our minds. We'd be down and out. It's gone. We're just toasted. I don't know how to say it. You understand what I mean. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we are into something that is like the cassette tape, you know. Zzz. We are into something that is getting increasing. The increase of his government is forever and ever. We are into something that is called infinite, eternal, huge God. We are into something that we did not invent. We did not make it up. We are not trying to describe it in human terms. We are just simply reading it right out of here. And we are amazed at what it means and where it's taking us. And by the way, many of us after decades of it are just as fresh as the day we started. And are deeply encouraged and just saying, yes, it is so. Yes, it is so. Get the wisdom that is from above and leave your sin behind. It will not help you. It is a deterrent. It'll destroy you. It'll eat like a cancer. It is not your friend. Embrace your birthright with all your heart. Learn of it. Use it. Speak about it. Think about it. Share it. Talk about it. Reflect on it. Use it. Embrace it and go to work in true service, because God Almighty is with you. Amen. Lord, you've made everything in the balanced way. And sometimes we're very foolish. We're just earthly, that's all, Lord. We're just earthly. And the Lord say, yes, but I am the second Adam, the last Adam, and I am the second Adam is of the Spirit. That's who you are now. You're not just of the earth, earthy. You are of the Spirit. You are like the, Jesus said, you will be like the angels of heaven that do not marry. And even now, we are, he maketh his angel spirits and his ministers of flame of fire. That's for you and me. Renew us. Refresh us, instruct us, keep us, teach us, help us. If anyone here does not have Christ in your life, you must come to him tonight, please. You must be born again.